I'm going to give you my top 10 books that I've interviewed on The Right Stuff for the year 2020. So stay tuned. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff. With your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. And welcome to this edition of The Right Stuff. Christmas is almost here. I hope you guys are enjoying the holiday, even though we've been in a heck of a year. 2020 has really pounded so many of us this year, but thanks be to God, we have the opportunity to still celebrate the reason for the season, which isn't about gifts, it's about the gift of salvation that He gave to us. And to celebrate the fact that Jesus came down all the way from heaven as a little babe, we can celebrate His birth because He was born to die and rise again and save us from our sins. There's so much to be so happy about during this season. So even though you may have experienced death in a family from COVID, job loss, heartache, despair, isn't it good to know that Jesus will take them all away? All we have to do is give it to Him. So I hope that encourages you today as we get ready to celebrate the holidays. With me today is my good friend, Rachel Rossano. Most of you know her. She was the very first guest I had on the show going on 7 years ago. Our first show was entitled Romantic Love versus Arranged Marriages. And Rachel has been with me ever since then, and she's with me today because we're going to do something different. I'm going to give you my top 10 picks of 2020 for The Right Stuff. I've never done this before, and I am admittedly a little nervous because I don't want it to appear as if I'm showing favoritism to all the great authors I've had on this show. And yet I was thinking, you know, we have some new people joining us. They may want to say, you know, Parker, where do I start with what books to read? And so I said, you know what, I'm just going to give my list of books that I've enjoyed through this show. Top 10, and Rachel is going to help me. We'll talk to her in just a few moments. We definitely want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club. Go to their website for more information about what they do by going to christianbookclub.net, and also our partner, Readio app, to find out how you can get your Christian fiction or nonfiction book uploaded to Readio app. Go to readioapp.com. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, I'm going to bring Rachel on, and we are going to talk about Rachel, what she's been doing. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High influence ebooks and audiobooks.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to this special edition of The Right Stuff. Again, I'm the Queen, Parker J, and today we are talking about Parker's top 10 picks for The Right Stuff. This is the first time I've ever done this, so I'm really excited about it. And with me to help me go through this list is my good friend Rachel Rossano. She is our guest co-host and contributor. She's going to be tackling some of this stuff for me, so I'm really excited to talk to Rachel today. So Rachel, how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty well, thank you.
No, I want to thank you so much. I know it's been really busy for you this year because I know you've had a lot to do, and especially with the kids and just, you know, home life and everything else that goes along with that. So I know you've been really busy. And so I'm really excited that you're able to help me today with the top 10 picks, you know. And I was a little nervous, like I told you before the show, like I don't know how it's going to be taken, but we're going to do it. I'm really excited to do it just to give my top 10 picks for the show. And tell people about them. But before I do that, I want to reintroduce some people to you. Introduce you to some of our new listeners as well. So go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I write, in general, I write medieval clean romance with a bit of adventure in there. I just recently finished up a Christian inspirational fantasy trilogy that I released the last book of last month. And I'm starting a new series, which is going to be loosely inspired on fairy tales. There's no actual magic, but it's there's like the plots and the characters are very loosely inspired by at least one fairy tale. Most of these are turning into a mashup of a couple of them. And that book, the first book in that series, just came out this month. It's called Grace by Contract, and it's loosely based off of Beauty and the Beast. So. Yeah, so I've got a lot of projects going on, and I'm hoping to keep writing.
As you look through 2020, I know you've also been affected by 2020. What are some of the things that 2020 has given you, both in a positive way and in a thoughtful way? Because we're, you know, the year's ending, and for many of us, it's been a horrible year. Christmas won't be like it was last year. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead, just give us some positive feedback. You know, to help our listeners out there.
Yeah, I think just like everybody else, it's been a year of a lot of dramatic change and of dramatic change in how we live our lives and how we spend time with others and how we fellowship together and how we minister. And due to some circumstances going on in our home, we have been even more isolated than most people have been because of some health restrictions. And I have found that I'm still brought me back to the basics. It's like what really is of value, what really is important, and what really do we need to be doing every day, and how can we bless others even if we can't be close to them. And it's put a lot more focus on how I can be in ministry and how I can be involved in ministry despite the restrictions, and realizing how God and how he blesses us is not constrained by the pestilence or the disease or all the different constrictions that we've had. We still can be a blessing. We still can love others. We can still bless each other. And we can still live a full and productive life despite the difficulties. So
I love the way you said that. Particularly because you said through the pestilence, and we are definitely going through pestilence. Okay, I just love and I know that's the writer in you that will even use the term. But there are sometimes those words are the most perfect words to describe it. It is a pestilence, and it's affected so many changes that are far-reaching. We don't quite know what those changes will look like. What normal will be has already changed. I remember recently I was looking at a woman and she had on a face shield and she had on a mask and she had on gloves. And I was thinking, 2019, you would have been insane. 2019, we would have made fun of you. You would have been a meme. And now, literally, that's normal. It's interesting just how quickly normal can change. And then the other thing, which is sad, is that with a lot of the political turmoil here in the U.S., one thing my pastor said is that he mourned the fact that people use political ties as means of breaking friendships, family relationships, and things of that nature. So that's something else that I also mourn with my pastor. But I think to myself, you know what, no matter what happens, no matter who's the president of the U.S. of A., no matter who is in whatever position of power, God is still on the throne, and God is still doing what he's doing, and nothing that has happened is a surprise to him. And when you have that sort of understanding of the world. That's why you can say, you know what, I'm going to trust the Lord no matter what. So even though 2020 has hit us in so many different ways, we can still trust him. And I wanted to just really reiterate that today because, like I said, Christmas is coming. Some people are going to be without loved ones, Rachel. You know about that from COVID and many other things. Some people are going to have a tight Christmas financially. Some people won't even celebrate it because they're angry. So, you know, so much stuff. But God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. He is still here. He is still waiting to hear from you. And he always says, you know, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares about you. And I can't reiterate that enough because it's true. You know, my mom said he can handle your anger. He can handle your frustration. He can handle your bitterness. That's why he says, cast all your cares about me. And guess what he says? He said, I will give you what you need. I will give you hope. I will give you peace.
Yeah.
I will give you everything in exchange for your bitterness, in exchange for your anger, in exchange for your frustration. And no other God would do that. And that's why I'm so thankful that even in the midst of this turmoil, we have that. And so, Rachel, I want to just definitely have you speak that encouragement to our listeners because it's really important that we have that knowledge that no matter what's going on, we can still have joy in the Lord. So I'm really excited to share that with our listeners today. Now, Rachel, we're doing something completely different today because we are doing Parker's Top 10. And so I'm going to start from number 10 to number 1. We're going to start from that. And I feel really strange about it, Rachel, because I've never done this before. I've just never done this before. And I don't know how people are going to respond to that. Just when you heard about the idea, what were some of the thoughts going through your head? Because I would love to know. Like, oh, Parker's doing a top 10, you know. So go ahead, tell what you thought about that whole idea.
I was excited to hear what you've been reading and what has been blessing you so that maybe it's giving me ideas of things I can pick up or things I can recommend friends. And I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say because I don't, you know, the things you read are different than things I read. And I'm excited to learn more about what you're reading and hopefully meet a new author friend that I really enjoy reading or just, you know, new things to read.
I think that's the thing, you know, because I do read a very eclectic number of books on this show.
Yeah.
And they range from sci-fi to horror. They range from romance to science fiction. They range from steampunk to poetry. They range all over the place. And as I was collating the list, I was thinking, huh, you know, I really liked all these books, you know. Then I said, okay, be fair. Which ones, you know, really grabbed you? And I'm like, but they all grabbed me.
So how do you narrow this down?
It really is. And then, of course, I have a preference for romance because I love romance.
Oh, yeah.
And I like science fiction. So I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? And I'm going to make some of my author friends mad. They'll be like, you know what, Parker, I'm never helping you with your show again. You know, I'm like, don't come back, please. But these are books that I really enjoyed. I've enjoyed every single one of them, every single one. Thinking, okay, I'm going to let everyone know who has been on this show that I've enjoyed their books. I haven't read a book yet I did not enjoy, that I did not fully endorse wholeheartedly without any question. But these are the books that really titillated me, that really brought my imagination to par, up to par, that really made me think, that made me linger on after I read them, that made me really challenge my worldview, not challenge my worldview, but challenge my view of the world in certain ways, like when it comes to spiritual elements, just so many different things. So we're going to go ahead and take another quick break. When we come back, I'm going to start with my top 10 of 2024 Right Stuff. And Rachel's going to, like, introduce the book, and then I'm going to talk about why I like. For those of you listening, just stay tuned. I'm going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after these brief messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month, we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you're here with me for this special edition because I am doing Parker's Top 10 Picks for 2020. Like I was saying before the break, it was so very difficult to choose which one to get, which ones to put on this list because they are just so phenomenal, every book I've had on this show. But I did find a way to scrunch it all down. And so Rachel Rossano, my guest co-host today, is going to help me just really give you my top 10 picks of 2020. And Rachel, once again, thank you for being with me as we have today's show. Really excited about it. So, you know, I'm going to let you take it on the way you want to go ahead and take it. So go ahead, get us started with it.
Okay, so number 10, since you wanted to go from 10 to 1, number 10 on your list is Land of the Purple Ring by Deborah Nadelson.
Oh my gosh, The Land of the Purple Ring. This book is one of the best books I've ever read, and I have a feeling I'm going to be saying that throughout this whole list, but it is so good because it takes imagination and whom time came to create a servant that can serve her that would not be affected by time. And so time gave the clockmaker 13 years, and in 13 years he created the clockwork boy. And the clockwork boy goes on this journey of discovery. If I were to describe this book, it would be describing the famous movie, The Land Before Time, mix it with a little bit of the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio where he was in dreams.
Inception.
Yeah. And then mixing it with a dose of rainbows and unicorns. This book is so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I told Deborah when we were talking about the book, I actually felt as if the entire book was an allegory about the creative process. And it was so wonderful to be in this world. And she has some very unique characters. There's some really good battle scenes. The storyline is good. Everything about this book, you can read it to your children as a story, and you can enjoy it as an adult and can enjoy it as a child. And that is what makes this book really unique, is The Land of the Purple Ring. And toward the end of the story, when you find out what the Land of the Purple Ring is, you kind of go like, that's freaking brilliant the way she did it. So definitely on my top 10 picks for 2020 is The Land of the Purple Ring by Deborah Nadelson.
That's good. So number 9, Dawn Before the Dark by Wendy Blanton.
I have to thank Bear Publications for this selection. My good friend Travis Perry owns that company, and he's the one who published Dawn Before the Dark. What was really unique about this story is that she, Wendy, took the gender role war and really twisted it on its head, because all the women in this book, they can ride dragons. They're the dragon riders. And all mm-hmm. the men in this book, they can wield magic, okay? But here's what's interesting. Then a man is born who can hear dragons. And it was based off a curse that happened to this kingdom, because this king had did something horrible to this woman. So she cursed all the people of this land with the split abilities. Because at one point, mm-hmm. either one can do riding dragons or the magic. Either one can
right.
do it. And she put
right.
a curse that split it down the middle. And so when you read this book and begin, it starts off with these deaths happening. You're like, why are these deaths happening, and what's the reason behind it? And that really is mm-hmm. a catalyst for the adventure in Dawn Before the Dark. And so, like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed this book. I love how she took the gender war, and they're both valid.
Yeah.
Like, it's in this world, it's both valid. All men can do the magic. And in this book, all women can do is ride dragons, and they can hear dragons and talk to dragons. And then this freak comes in, and he can do both. And you're like, whoa, what's going on? So that is the story and the gist of that story. I really enjoyed it. I read it really quickly, too. And I was telling Wendy, I said, you really do have a good way with words. And that was a debut novel from her.
Nice.
So it was really
That's
good
impressive.
To read her story.
Yeah. Okay, so number 8, Brew and Bacchus by Mark Akins.
Okay, Brew and Bacchus. Let me tell you about this story. This is what you would call hard sci-fi. But even though it's hard sci-fi, Rachel, it also has that fantastical element, not through fantasy, but just through this world building that Mark built. And it really toes the line about artificial intelligence. It tells the line about the dependence of man and robots, and then it also talks about how we are stretching our arms out into the galaxy. And this is book one of the Spiral Galaxy series. And in this series, we have two of our cohorts, which is Brew and Bacchus. Brew is the human counterpart of this team. Bacchus is the robot part of this team. And they're going on this journey, and there's a lot of interesting space opera political intrigue happening. And they go into the spiral part, and they have to travel not through warp speed, but through another means of faster-than-light transportation. And so it's just really immersive. And what I really like about this book with Mark Akin is that the protagonists are older. Usually, for some reason, a lot of authors tend to stop the age of our protagonists at 30. Like, life stops at 30.
Yeah.
It doesn't
go
on past there. Like, one of the older characters is in her 70s, one's in her 50s. You know, they're older protagonists, older main characters.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed that about this book. But if you like really hard science fiction that's grounded in fact, but also gives you that fantastical element, that is the book for you, which is Brew and Bacchus.
It sounds really interesting. So number 7, Midwives of Moses by Jennifer Jennings.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot how I connected with Jennifer. I know I did on the show. I remember on the show, but I connected with Jennifer. And I was reading the book. I said, oh, my goodness, this book looks delicious. That's the only way to describe it because the cover is gorgeous. It's a beautiful Mid-Eastern woman.
Amazon,
oh, yeah, you saw it with the purple and the jewelry.
Yes.
Gorgeous. It's just gorgeous, you know. And I said, I wonder what this book's about. And the fact that she came from the story, she did a retelling of the Exodus story through the eyes of the midwives. And when she did this, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is totally plausible. I'm not saying it happened like that, but it's totally plausible. And when you think about the midwives had access to both the Hebrew women and the Egyptian women in her story. But it made so much sense because she would have a very interesting connection with the community. And so while the plagues of Egypt are happening throughout the story, she's really fighting and struggling with how can God do this to both these Egyptian women? How can he do that? And she's struggling with her faith a little bit and with her decree because Pharaoh tells her to kill the children. You know, all these things are happening in the story. And I was surprised at how well I enjoyed it. I was really surprised because I was like, oh, it's going to be about midwives. So, okay, whatever. But then she put some things, she twisted some things around, and she really did a lot of research into this story. So when you read Midwives of Moses, when you read it, you are there in ancient Egypt. You are there with the Hebrew women. And because the midwives are so busy, they're going back and forth, delivering babies. They're all delivering babies, so they're going back and forth doing that.
So you get, get a lot of birth scenes.
Lots of birth scenes in there, for sure. But that was my next pick of that of the list.
Oh, cool. So number 6, Solitary Man by Eric Lanfried.
My gosh, this was an offering by Ambassador International, and I've been interviewing their authors now for a couple of years now. And Ambassador International has really expanded their catalog to embrace some speculative fiction and other types of fiction other than nonfiction or romance. And this is one of those stories. So it's a military story about this man who is in a post-apocalyptic world, and he has been almost chosen by God to take care of this family. However, he's an atheist, or he's an agnostic at best, okay? And it's his journey into this land, and there's a lot going on. If I tell you too much about the story, you probably will miss some of it. So there's a little bit of a zombie thing going on. There's a little bit of intrigue, military stuff, but it's a really, really good story, and it's clean because some people they worry that if they read a zombie story, it's going to have a lot of
gore,
vulgarity, gore, stuff like that, and it's not like that at all. and it has cannibals in it too. And but it's done in such a way that you're not going to get freaked out when you read
that's
it.
That's good.
Definitely my thing. I told Eric I can't wait till the next book comes out. Till he'll let me know when the next book comes out. But that's my next pick for the list.
That's cool. The Riftwalkers for number five, The Riftwalkers and the Pierced Veil by Robin Parrish.
Oh my gosh. Think X-Files. Okay. But better.
Okay.
So think X-Files, but better. And we have this dynamic with guy who is searching for the truth, like in X-Files, and this woman who's sort of a skeptic, like in X-Files, but not quite. They're not quite that way. And the reason why is because they are seeing things they cannot explain away. Like there's one scene in the book where they see a fight between what looks like an angel and the demon manifested very quickly, and everyone sees it. But she wants to ignore that she's seeing it. He's like, no, we want to find out if this is what's happening is the truth. And so it really is kind of trippy. The philosophical discussions that happen in there are really good, but it's not preachy at all. So if you like
a little bit
of weird, paranormal, alien, X-Files, this is the book. Right here. And he's doing several, like a season. He's doing like a season of these. So he's doing several of these. I told him, let me know when he does the next book in the season or when I just look up again. But definitely this is one of my picks for 2020 as well.
That sounds very interesting. So number four, Aversion by Nate Allen.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, I always have been advocate for the stepchild genres of Christian fiction publishing. And horror is one of those redheaded stepchild.
Yes.
But in this book, Aversion deals with a man who is allergic to the name Jesus. Like when he hears Jesus, he begins to have a panic attack. And you're wondering, why is he having a panic attack? And he was atheist. He was married to this beautiful woman. And then all of a sudden she comes home and says, I accepted Jesus. And it completely derails their life. They were happy. They were happy before this happened. And so he goes on a journey to discover why does he have this aversion to the name of Jesus Christ. And even thinking it, like even when he thinks he'll go that J name, he'll just do that. And when I talked to Nate about this particular book, he was saying that this is written for some people who have felt disappointed in God. And I said, I understand exactly what he meant. And he said, well, sometimes the church does not allow us to be vulnerable and to be emotionally open about the things we have problems with. Like if I'm having a hard day, I don't want to just say, well, God is good all the time. I want to say, oh my gosh, I'm having a hard day. And that'd be okay to say. And so for this book, for those who want to read it, it's a quick book. It's like it's really quickly, but you can read it in like a couple of hours. But it really delves into facing your past, and it also delves into learning how to deal when bad things happen to you and how God can heal you from those bad things. So Aversion is definitely on my pick of 2020.
So number three, The One by R.D. Palmer.
Okay, so R.D. and I have been talking for a while now. We have our connection, and it's thanks through Peter Young Husband. His first book, The One, is about Amish people fighting against artificial intelligence. And in a way, I sort of cheated when I put The One on here because I actually interviewed it last year. But because I had The Singularity, which is book two of this series, I have to include The One because the Singularity is actually book one, and book one is actually book two, but he didn't publish it that way. And so The One really delves into this interesting mishmash of fiction, Amish people fighting against the artificial general intelligence. And this is actually based off what's happening now when it comes to artificial intelligence. I don't know if you've seen, Rachel, those videos are called deep fakes, where they put someone else's face, and they're really scary, beyond scary. But he said, eventually, you won't be able to trust what your eyes are telling you. You won't be able to even know that because the defects are so deep. I saw a comedian very recently. He was doing impressions of various actors, And mm-hmm. when they did his face, and because he sounded just like that actor, it was terrifying.
It was really hard.
So,
yeah, because you can't tell what's real and what's
false. Really
false.
Can't. And
yeah.
with artificial general intelligence, the development of this particular technology is something that Christians and non-Christians alike should be very concerned, because basically
yeah.
you'll be creating a God, if you will. And this God, if you will mimic attributes of God, because they will
yeah.
have all the sum of human intelligence. They will be able to think independently. They will be sentient, but they won't be all-powerful, obviously, because
yeah.
they don't have that. And they're going to be completely flawed. But it's
yeah.
a very
yeah.
real concern. It's a very real concern.
Yeah.
So this book is based
yeah.
off what's really happening in the artificial intelligence world. And RD and I have done an entire series on artificial general intelligence that's available in the archives on pjcmedia.net. So this book really just highlights that. And then when you read The Singularity, you actually get kind of nervous, because you're saying this is almost present day current horror
now
with it
yeah.
now. So the one is definitely on my pick of 2020.
Okay. Number two, Jordan's World, Alan Stedman, or Stedham
is fine. And
Stedham.
Here's
I'm
the thing
sorry.
About Jordan's World. Jordan's World is such a good book. And when I read it, I had no idea what to expect. And I think that's why it really surprised me how much I enjoyed Jordan's World. And I've had the opportunity to showcase the entire series on the show this year. But Jordan's World really starts off with these aliens abduct this mother and her daughter,
mm-hmm.
take them to a world far away, drops them
mm-hmm.
off, and leaves them there. No explanation or anything
That's
else.
And strange.
I told Alan, yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
And I told Alan, I said, I was so indignant for two books. I was very indignant. Like, what
That's
gives
good. That's,
you the right
yeah.
to do that?
To do that, yeah. Well, having
so
that
angry.
Kind of reaction is a good thing, because that means you keep
oh,
going.
Yeah. It does, because throughout until book three, you find out what happened, but you're sitting here like, what gives you the right to
uh-huh.
take these people off their planet, drop
mm-hmm.
them off another world, and
yeah.
leave them there?
And yeah.
Yeah. I told Alan, I was so indignant, Rachel. Rachel, could you even imagine someone going to your house, stealing you from you and one of your kids, right, taking
yeah.
you over to some mountain refuge
yeah.
somewhere?
Yeah, and just dropping you off. Oh, that would drive me nuts.
And the entire book, though, deals with this wonderful, interesting story of a woman who discovers herself on another
mm-hmm.
world. That's why it's
right.
called Jordan's World. And so she was there as an earthling. By the end of the story, is she still an earthling or is she something else? So even though
right.
this thing happened to her that she could not control, it becomes
mm-hmm.
a pivotal part of her story arc. And I told Alan, and me and Alan, we really have a great rapport. And I told him, I said, we get so involved when we do these shows
mm-hmm.
with the series. But this was the book that made me a fan of Alan's. And I said, Alan, anything he writes, I'm going to read. I'm going to read anything all my authors write. But I really became a
That's
fan
good.
Of Alan with this story. And Jordan's World
That's
is definitely
good.
On that list.
Good. Good. It sounds interesting. So Northern Lights, Southern Stars by C.S. Johnson is your number one pick.
Okay. Now, it may seem like, oh, Parker, you're not being fair. You just had C.S. Johnson on the show recently. How can she be number one? Northern Lights, Southern Stars is a retelling of Snow White. And it's
Ooh.
Done in such a way that I enjoyed it so very much. And it's romantic. It's a very sweet, clean romance. And as you know, I love romance. And
yes.
I love the way C.S. Johnson writes, because I've had the opportunity to read some more of her stories. And I'm sitting here, when I finished Northern Lights, Southern Stars, I said to myself, this is really good. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. Like, this is really good. And it really hit every romantic bone I had for romance, every romantic bone I had. I love the innocence of it. I love the sweet clean
mm-hmm.
view of romance in here. I love the story. She even talked about a really heavy topic about racism, but it wasn't so heavy that it dominated the story. It just was part
mm-hmm.
of it, because the Snow White character, she's from an African country or Africanesque country, and
uh-huh.
the prince character is obviously European, But what happened is that she uses, how do I say this? She uses, in her research, she made sure that she projected certain things accurately. And one of the things she talks about is the character has his headscarf. And the headscarf is not just to cover your hair. It has meaning to it. And I knew that just as an African-American, knowing about certain different African cultures, I knew that. But when I saw just that small detail in there, I had to give it up to her. Like, she really did her research into this. And then she also talks about feminism in this story, because toxic feminism that's out there today is all about subjugating men to, like, some lower life form. She said, what's wrong with Cinderella being rescued by Prince Charming? What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And as you read the story, she is not, she's not affected or less because she's being rescued by Prince Charming. She's not affected by that. She's just as much of a woman, and he's just as much of a man, you know. And so she really does this complete fairy tale like tense to the story. But it's just so beautiful, and it's actually one of the best books of 2020, which is why I had to give it the number one slot.
Oh, that's I've got some on this list I'm going to be picking up. I'll tell you that.
You know, and I enjoyed it, Rachel. I enjoyed it because it's nice and eclectic, and but I have to say, this is not to say all the books on the show haven't been great, because they all have. But I wanted to give our listeners just a view of the type of books that we showcase on this show, Rachel. Now, you've been on the show several times, you know what I'm saying? And just what this show represents to people, in your own opinion, why do you think more Christian authors should try to get their slot here on this show?
Because you reach a you reach an audience that is willing to try new things. You're reaching an audience who is interested in supporting authors and interested in picking up new books. And you're also getting an audience who's interested in Christian fiction, fiction that glorifies the Lord, even if it is a bit different than the mainstream of what Christian mainstream is. And I think that's really good. You're by listening and also by trying to get a slot on the show, you're making a connection that's very hard to get, because there are not very many opportunities to reach this kind of audience.
And I appreciate you saying that, because I'm always nervous about tooting my own horn, but over the past 7 years, this is Christian fiction. This is what we've highlighted. And you've noticed that the top 10, we have sci-fi, we have horror, we have fantasy, we have romance, we have paranormal. We have all that on the show, and let you know what Christian writers write. And they write about everything. That's what they write about. They write about everything. And so that's why I wanted to showcase it today on the show, particularly right before Christmas. So if some of you get an Amazon gift card, most of all these books are on Amazon. So you can get one of these books and just see what we're talking about. So, Rachel, as we get ready to end this show, I want to first of all thank you so very much for helping me host this top 10 pick of the show
today.
Welcome. And what are some last final thoughts you have for us?
I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted enjoying your list, and I'm very thankful that I got an opportunity to learn about a whole bunch of new books, and I'm going to probably be picking a few of them up and enjoying them this holiday season when I get some downtime. So
I know, right? And then you'll be back hopefully next year, Lord allow. We'll be doing our 8th year anniversary celebration.
Yeah.
We celebrate 8 years doing right stuff. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I can already tell it's going to be fun. Rachel, thank you for helping me with this Parker's Top 10 Picks of Right Stuff for 2020. To our listeners out there, thank you so much for joining me on this show. What I want to encourage you definitely is that if God has given you the gift to write, make sure you use that gift. This year, before Christmas, your gift may be a Kindle, your gift may be a software for writers, it may be some sort of thing to help you get better at writing, whether it's Grammarly or Pro Writing Aid, whatever those tools are. Are you going to just look at that gift that you give, or are you going to use that gift and write stuff? Because I will be honored to showcase you on the show one day, to read the book that gave you to write. So go ahead. Consider using the gift that you already have and write stuff. From all of us at PJC Media, have a wonderful, blessed day, and Merry Christmas.